Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 80 from August the 7th of 1993. We are back, and yes, we are still the most unprofessional wrestling podcast there is. I'm sitting here on this lovely morning, February 9th, 2018. Skype still gives us trouble, but we're out here. We're trying to get you a nice show today. We had a hard time getting Harper connected, hard time getting myself connected, but we're here finally.
Yeah.
Harper, how you doing this morning, man? You all right?
I think so. Fuck.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Damn. This fucking Skype shit.
It is a pain in the ass, but unfortunately it's the only way we can do the show because I can't fly down there every week. And
you can.
I don't know about that. It'd get a little expensive. Anyway, Doc, how you doing?
This goddamn free service we use to record the podcast isn't worth the money we pay for it.
And I think the people need to know that. We've actually looked into other things to do that were like alternatives to Skype. The problem is there are things you can do, but they get real expensive and I don't know, bro.
This ain't our jobs, pal. This is
This is for y'all, ungrateful turds.
Right.
Okay. Well, I tell you what,
I'm podcast Jesus, and I'm just here to turn water into wine.
Are you really?
Well, you get nothing but IPAs, but Harper and I get whatever I decide to turn the water into.
That stuff is still the nastiest stuff on the planet. If you're listening to us and you haven't done so already, pause the show and give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called now. We would appreciate it. Doc and I have promised a show with the BTT Broads, also known as Wives, if and when we get to 200 5-star reviews. So as of right now, we are at 156 5-star reviews. 160 reviews in total, but 156 5-star reviews. We get about 44 more. We're going to do a BTT version with the wives, and I don't know about you, Doc, but I'm planning on cutting some promos on mine. How are you planning on dealing with yours?
I'm going to approach this just like I approach meetings at work. I'm going to go, and I'm going to try to contribute, but I'm going to try not to get action items out of any of this. So I'm going to try to get in and get out without any heat. You know what I mean?
I hear that. So we got a little ways to go, but with your help, again, 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate it if you would do that. So, and then also I want to say, please check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, and our Twitter pages at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints, Hardbody Harper's at @CJHudat. Now let's get into the show. All right. So last week we left off. We were in Whitley County Middle School in Williamsburg, Kentucky. Doc gave us the demographics last week. So if you want to hear how many white people live here versus other races, I would suggest you go back and listen to episode 79, which aired July 31st of 1993. Otherwise, we're moving on to this week's show. Hell, it might even make sense to go back and listen to us have a free-for-all talking about what the fuck a Juicy Johnny was, because that was the most absurd, like, U-turn, not even U-turn, just, what would you call it, Doc, where we just lost it, Juicy Johnny. I was going to call it a fork in the road, but it didn't even that. It just threw us for a loop. I mean, we end up having a very long episode based on that.
I believe what we call it in the corporate setting would be we went down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You really want to use Juicy Johnny and rabbit hole in the same sentence?
Well, then down the rabbit hole is where you find the honeypot.
Okay. Well, yeah. The Juicy Johnny. Honeypot. So we get into this week's show, and Dutch and Bob Cottle kick things off, and Bob Cottle tells us that we're going to get a sneak peek of Armstrong's boys training. Good God. We got the big boss man.
Jesus Christ. I was not expecting that at all.
Hoffer, I can't wait to get your thoughts when we get to it, because I don't know. It's just absurd. It's fucking ridiculous what they do. They also say Big Boss Man will be here. Yes, the Big Boss Man will be here. And Dutch then says Bullet Bob will be on Down and Dirty with him. Lastly, the Dirty White Boy will face Chris Comet for the Beat the Champ TV title. We'll keep going because, like I said, we're going to talk a lot more about
Hold on. Training. Okay. So Dutch is wearing a poncho, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Harper, what's more white trash, the poncho or the tank top?
The tank top.
Yeah, I think you're right. But that poncho, because you know that a poncho doesn't get washed.
Fucking never gets washed.
Right. So in appearance, it might be the tank top, but in smell and just general germiness, the poncho may have you beat.
Yeah.
And they didn't have Febreze back then, did they?
Mm-mm. All they had was Famunda.
Famunda cheese, yeah. Yeah, you got that right. All right, well, let's keep going. So up in the first matchup is Juicy Johnny and Joe Kazana versus Scott and Steve Armstrong. And again, before we get to the match, I'd advise you to go back and listen to last week's episode where we discovered what a Juicy Johnny was when Harper on the fly searched for the definition of Juicy Johnny, and it popped up in Google and Urban Dictionary.
Well, did you hear in the middle of the match Dutch say, "I don't know what that name Juicy Johnny means"?
He said, "I don't know what Juicy Johnny means, but to me it means he's going to get smushed or squashed." And I don't know if Dutch knew what a Juicy Johnny was at that point, but that's what he said. Scott and Steve win the match. Fairly easy match. Harper, thoughts?
Yeah, doesn't Juicy Johnny seem to kind of get, out of all these jobbers, he gets the most stuff in?
Stuff in. I don't even know how to respond,
dude. He is the. Okay, this fool looks. I'm just gonna struggle here. He looks like. Do you remember that real shitty? I mean, real shitty hair metal band, Danger, Danger.
Are you asking the wrong dude? I
think so. Yeah.
He looks like the lead singer, and if you need to hit pause and go look all this up, that's fine. But he looks like the singer for Danger, Danger. Now, Danger, Danger was terrible at any time, but you got to remember they were hitting their stride about 89 or 90. This is 93. That look is out of date, pal. Jesus Christ. We're wearing flannel. We're listening to Soundgarden. This fool is living in the past.
Is it like... But it's how mullets in general are like...
Yes.
Are gone.
Right.
Really? You can't tell from watching Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yeah, no.
It's a time warp into a shithole.
Yeah.
You know what's funny when you think about mullets? Like, Cornette never changed his look over the years.
No.
He always had the same haircut, same glasses. I guess maybe he went to track pants later on because he always talks about he wears those now, but he might be the only one. Everybody else, you're right. I don't know, man. We're in the Smoky Mountains. Who knows? I mean, mullets might still be popular in the Smoky Mountains today.
Yeah, I would assume so. Joe Kazana is kind of built like Adrian Adonis, huh?
He looks just like him.
A little bit, yeah. He does.
And also, that trash bag mat around the ring looks real bad on TV. It does not come up well on TV.
I felt like it was just around a ring, but apparently it goes out.
It looks, the light hits it and it looks like it's wet, and it's just, it's
maybe
not a
it's
good
protecting
look.
The gym floor.
Fuck yeah, the gym floor.
Yeah, but it covers like more than just where the ring is.
I don't know.
Do you want to have a divot free basketball gym? Or do you want to have a wrestling show that looks good on TV, pal? You can't have both.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep going. So, again, Steve and Scott win. No shocker here as we lead towards, like, Fire in the Mountain and the K-Town Showdown coming up. So, just standard TV match, jobber match there. We then go to the most popular wrestler plug. We'll do that. Yeah, I'm not going to play that. But that's the deal where the most popular wrestler, whoever wins that, like nominating the most popular wrestler, gets a chance to win a 20-inch RCA colored TV. I don't think it had the VCR in it, though, Harper, like we had talked about last week.
Fuck.
Yeah. And then We go from there to the Cornette and Heavenly Bodies. And Hopper, if you got to take a piss break, now would be a good time because it's a little long and I'm sure you got some notes on it. But let's hear what they got to say. I thought this was real good and very much worth playing. We got to listen to the whole thing. So here it is.
All right, fans, with us right now, of course, Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, Tom Pritchard.
You know what really amazes me is a guy who used to be the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling still has these guys in his back pocket. You can tell it through when you go out and you get some criminal like the Big Boss Man and you lock him inside a cage with us. It just goes to show you what kind of people you really do have here in Smoky Mountain. But no matter which way you go, no matter how you cut it, we still got all the beef and we still got all the brains on our side, man.
Hey, the word is around and I hear that you're getting a little bit nervous, Jim Cornette.
Oh, you wouldn't be nervous? Smoky Mountain Wrestling is sanctioned in murder with a money-back guarantee, and you wouldn't be nervous if the guy was coming after you? He's a homicidal psychopath, and he wants to kill me. And you talk about criminals. They're calling us Cornette's criminals, putting us in a cage, enraging a cage, putting me in a lumberjack match like one of those movies from the old West. I'm surprised they don't want leather thongs and have a knife in the head. I shouldn't say anything. But I got a little report here on you, Bob Armstrong. I know why Bob Armstrong knows so much about criminals. Because, you see, I did a little genealogical survey on the Armstrong family. I called those Mormons up there in Salt Lake City, and I got a little report. Now, the first thing I found out about the Armstrong family, the family tree doesn't branch. Did you realize that? That's the first thing right there. There's no truth to the rumor whatsoever that Bob Armstrong's mother and father were named Adam and Eve. That was actually his younger sister and brother. Now, Bob Armstrong has a lot of famous people in his lineage. For example, right here, Benedict Armstrong in the Revolutionary War. He turned on so many people, he screwed himself into the ground, and they used his face for a doorstop. Now, there was General George Armstrong, back in the Old West. He was the victim of an Indian massacre. He went out one day on patrol, and a squaw doing laundry beat him to death with a wet towel. And then, his grandfather, Alphonse Starface Armstrong, who wanted to corner the market on bootleg whiskey during Prohibition. The only thing is he got it wrong. He wasn't supposed to drink it. He was supposed to sell it. And there was another noted Armstrong, Otis Campbell Armstrong, who was such a noted town drunk all over the South. He traveled the country hiring out to various cities to be their town drunk until one day he burnt next to an open flame and started a Chicago fire. Now, you talk about the Armstrong family, tramps and thieves. A lot of people think Bob Armstrong's related to Neil Armstrong, the first man to set foot on the moon. He's actually related to Buford Armstrong, the first man to set foot in the Georgia State Reformatory. Now, Bob's father, he was the only Armstrong ever to work for a living. As a matter of fact, he ran the biggest shoe store in the state of Georgia. And to this day, whenever people think about black loafers, they think about Bob Armstrong's old man. And one more thing, the women in the Armstrong family, for example, Bob's great-grandmother, Bertha, she charged the Light Brigade. His mother's well-known in the linen business. She's been in more laps than a napkin. And also, Bob has a daughter. Not too many people realize this, very successful in school. She was voted most likely to conceive. Damn. Let me tell you something, Bob Armstrong. You're a filthy, stinking redneck. I hate your family. I hate everything about you. They're nothing but thieves, cutthroats, backstabbers, murderers, criminals, and low-life, stinking, unemployed bums. And I got the proof, and I'll tell you something else I'm going to prove. Fire on a mountain, that rage in the cage ain't going to go the way you think. And it's for the K-Town Showdown. I'm working on my options, man, because I am worried. You got a lot of money riding on hospitalizing me. I ain't going to let it happen one way or another. Neither are the bodies, neither are the bruises, and maybe neither will the Big Boss Man if I can just get 10 minutes of his time before August the 20th. I'm out.
Hey, no wonder he's nervous, and he's got even more grounds to be so after what he just said about the Armstrong. Right now, fans, let's hear more about...
So there's a lot there. Doc, you go first, because this was damn good. I mean, I remember writing a timestamp down for this. I'm like, man, over 4 minutes. I was like, am I going to have to dice this up? But nah, man, this was good.
It's too long.
I don't think so. I think you're a fucking idiot, but go ahead.
Now, the mom and daughter joke was a little, were a little stiff. I'm going to say that. The most likely to conceive and been in more linen, been in more laps, you know, the napkins and stuff. That was a little stiff.
Did you see what Del Rey did when
well,
he said that?
Del Rey got bored and just started jiggling, dude. That's my, that was my note. He was just like, words, words, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to jiggle. I'm going to send out the bat signal for some rats.
The rat signal?
The rat signal.
The rat signal.
That's so,
good. That's good.
Yeah, and I still think there's, you know, there's something to be said here for this being the boss man coming back, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah. Hopper, what you got?
It, I mean, this was long, but he pulled it off, man. And when it, bro, that the whole most likely to conceive, I was like, did he just say that?
Well, yeah. And then Jimmy Del Rey does this motion like, you know, yeah, she's pregnant. I mean, just which that popped me. The line when he said his mother has been in more laps than a napkin, I thought that was great. The irony is at the very beginning he said Smoky Mountain is sanctioning a murder. You assaulted a man with a tennis racket and broke his ribs, but now it's again the heel crying foul.
Yeah.
You know, with the whole lumberjack match, which I'm not giving away a spoiler on that, but that match and then the post stuff after that match in the following episodes, Hopper's
the post
stuff.
Yeah,
Hopper's
he
loses his shit on.
The post stuff is one of my top five Smoky Mountain moments of all time.
Yeah, it just doesn't get any better. I'm not trying to, you know, speak in, what do you call it, hyperbole, Doc?
Well, let's just say this. If the training video was ridiculous, this is off the charts.
Yeah, what happens after the post-match in a couple of episodes. So I totally agree. I texted Doc right away. I go, bruh, I just saw the most absurd shit I think I've ever seen in my life. And we'll leave it at that for now. So there's a teaser. You got to keep listening. Okay, so anything else, Hopper, from the promo?
No.
Yeah, I thought it was solid, though. I mean, 4 minutes long, but he pulled it off, in my opinion. They run down the K-Town Showdown, which, again, I don't want to confuse people, but so you got two things going on here. You got Fire on the Mountain, which is a week from when this airs. That is going to be August 14th, 1993. And then you got the K-Town Showdown, which is August the 20th, and that's where Cornette is going to be in that lumberjack match. So they're kind of building up two big things here, and it can get confusing when you're following along, but I just wanted to clarify that. Anything on the K-Town Showdown right now, Doc, or are you cool with just...
I want to go, dude. This card sounds hot.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the K-Town Showdown, when I look at like Fire in the Mountain and K-Town Showdown to me actually would have been the card that I think I may have preferred to be at, because that's the one where Jim and Armstrong are doing lumberjacks with the tennis rackets. There's a four-corner tag team match in that one. That's Boss Man's going to be against Sullivan in that one. You got Tim Horner versus Candido, which I'm actually high on that feud right now. And then Bobby Blaze and Dirty White Boy were going to be wrestling, and that's the one where if White Boy doesn't defeat him in 10 minutes, Bobby gets $1,000 or $100 for each minute or whatever it was. So the K-Town Showdown to me was actually, as I remember, a better card than Fire on the Mountain 93. Now, we'll get to both, but it's just a point I wanted to make there. Fire on the Mountain 93, though, is the one that's going to have the Coal Miner's Glove match with Brian Lee and Tracy Smothers. So, all right, let's keep going. There's a local promo, but I don't have any notes from it. Doc, do you?
Well, not from the content, but it's Rock and Roll and Armstrong. It said, what a collection of out-of-date fashion. There's literally nothing on that screen in this promo that says 1993.
Yeah, no.
Well, so let's clarify. Scott still has the black wife beater type tank top with his mullet and his glasses on and his striped crazy wear pants with his sagging, I guess, what do you call it, fanny pack. Steve's got his stonewashed jean shorts and a sleeveless tee. Bullet Bob is in a tank top with his barrel chest and big guns sticking out with a yellow hat and jeans. Ricky Morton is still stuck in 1985, and Gibson is as well. Does that summarize it pretty well?
Yep.
Okay. And Morton's got a jean jacket on with no T-shirt with his mullet fluffed out. I don't know if it gets better than that. But they're building up something for the local town that they're going to. So it's not pertinent to the storyline that we're facing here. Now, with that said, we got up next, we've talked about the big boss man. Here it is. Let's hear from the boss man.
A rainy day in Georgia. The big boss man, law, order, and justice. I want you to take a good long look at that wall and that razor wire out here in this exercise yard. This is a place where there's a lot of heartache, a lot of sorrow. Well, we have what we call the rage in the cage coming down 20 by 20, five men against five men, Cornette's criminals versus Armstrong's army. There's got to be a man that can handle all this madness, all this wildness, and that is the big boss man, the keeper of the key. I'm going to make sure, without a doubt in anybody's mind, that everything's fair and square, that every man gets their chance to prove what they got to prove. Who's a man and who's not? Plain and simple. All my life, I've tried to walk the straight and narrow. My mama and daddy always told me, do what's right. And that way, you'll walk through life knowing that you're doing what's right. Well, Kevin Sullivan, you've been walking. You've been stepping on people, trying to ruin lives long enough. Here in this rainy day in Georgia, I'm going to make it plain and clear and simple to you, Kevin Sullivan. You're going to have to deal with a big boss man, and it's not going to be pleasant because the crimes have been committed, and you've got to pay, punk. Law, order, and justice.
Harper, thoughts on the boss man there?
Is this the first blood match or whatever it is? Where they got with the spike?
Hold on. So there's two, because there's one at Fire on the Mountain, and then there's one at K-Town Showdown, which is 6 days later. And the K-Town Showdown one on August 20th is the Singapore Spike match.
That's the shit I want to see.
And I think – I'm not sure which one. I think we get a recap of that one. I'm not sure. But, yeah, that's the – so there's two. That's where it gets confusing. There's two. So, I mean, actually, his promo could go for both, but there are two matches. I agree with you, though, in seeing that, because you wonder, like, Sullivan with a spike. Jesus Christ. Does that mean he's going to
fight
the boss man?
I mean, but I can't picture the boss man bleeding and doing all that kind of shit at this point in his fucking career, because he won't have to.
Yeah, he's a made man right here.
Right.
Doc, your thoughts on boss man here?
He said, all my life I tried to walk the straight and narrow. What about when he was Big Bubba? Am I supposed to forget that?
Yeah, you're supposed to conveniently forget that.
Nah, pal. That's not how this works.
Well, it's how it works. How it works in wrestling, pal. God damn, pal.
Well, and so here's my question, because, you know, we have switched allegiances here and thrown our lot behind the WWF instead of WCW as Smoky Mountain. So he's coming out of WWF. I thought he was, and I don't know because I didn't give a shit about their shit. Is he, wasn't he a bad guy in WWF?
Right. He was, and then the Rodney King deal happened. And you can't have a cop beating the shit out of people with a knife stick. So when the Rodney King deal happened, he turned to a good guy.
So wait, you can't have it in wrestling, but we can still have it in real life?
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
That's what happened.
Okay.
They turned him into a face after Rodney King. And then he was...
You're missing something, too, from him coming, even if he was a heel in WWF.
He's still a star.
Right.
He's still a star. And the other part is, he's from where in the South, supposedly?
Cobb County, Georgia.
Cobb County.
So he's from Cobb County. He's the heart of the Confederacy, or one of the hearts, I would say. I don't want to say the main heart, but definitely in the center of the Confederacy. And he's now in the Smoky Mountains. And something you don't see here, there's an American flag patch on his shirt. But I remember when there was a Confederate flag patch on his big boss man shirt. So I say all that to say, yeah, he may have been a heel working the program with Hogan throughout the North. I mean, I know they were a national company. My point being a Northern company. He's now in the South. So you bring him in just on the fact that he had that national exposure and he's the big boss man from Cobb County. Even if he was a heel there, he can easily just come in and be, you know, babyface as can be. He's big. He's coming to levy justice. And that's it. And that's all it was to it. So
Southern justice.
There you go, Doc. So, yeah, that's a good one. All right. So, any other, Doc, any thoughts from the boss man there? Anything else?
No, that's good. I mean, he is the first trickle in of the WWF faucet. And that shit.
Yeah.
That's going to pick up from a trickle, pal.
I almost said the same thing right before you. It's going to happen rather quickly. You're going to see some things. And it's amazing because we're only 4 months from when they invaded, 5 months from when they invaded WCW.
Right.
Wasn't that long ago.
Damn. Yeah.
So think about that. Well, I mean, we just saw that.
If Watts hadn't called Hank Aaron the N-word, maybe they'd still be working with him.
That's nice.
Well, no, that's kind of – there's two camps on that. Like I know Cornette told me that time that, you know, if things wouldn't have went – he actually didn't say that. He just said if things wouldn't have went sideways in WCW. So he didn't really say – he didn't really put the blame on anyone. But the other side is, if you listen, if you read the reports out there from, I think, like Meltzer's and Keller's of the world, Aaron or Watts got out of line and things got fucked and he was out the door. And that's why the partnership with WCW never happened. But I think, didn't Corny tell us, Doc, that they were definitely going to probably work with them and maybe be like a filter system or a feeder system?
Yeah, because it made more geographical sense to have guys pick up shows if you're running in the South a lot to just pop over and hit shows than it does to come from up North.
Right, because Atlanta's not that far away from, you know, it's really a short drive
from
Tennessee. Okay, we'll keep going here. So after Boss Man, we got Chris Comet versus the Dirty White Boy. And the way this match goes down is after a couple of minutes, Bobby Blaze joins the commentary table with Dutch and Bob Cottle. Bobby just still coming across as, golly gee, guys, babyface, which now we know Bobby as the foul-mouthed, unprofessional member of the BTT Army. And he's just this, you know, babyface that is golly gee in here. I find it great to hear Bobby speak like such a young babyface with everything so peachy when we know him now to be a little bit different. Not that he's a mean person, but he just don't give two shits and he says how he feels. Now, Dirty White Boy obviously gets a quick victory with no Ron Wright out there with him.
That's true, huh?
I didn't notice it until the very end. I was like, where's Ron? Crazy. But anyway, Harper, thoughts on the match with Dirty White Boy and Chris Comet?
He just kicked the shit out of him.
He beat the piss out that boy. Yeah. But that's it. Harper, I mean, Doc, you?
Cottle told Bobby, the women are going to like it if he's bald. I don't know. You two guys are bald. You two guys are bald. Are you got some tips for bald Bobby Blaze?
Just shave it all off.
Well, just shave it all off.
Harper can probably, you know, give you better feedback on that because the whole time I've been bald, I've been married. So
that's nice.
Ain't too much rat banging going outside.
But that should tell you something about marriage.
It should. It should. All right. So after the match, though, with Dirty White Boy, where he wins, Chris Candido is coming out, and he's going to cut a promo. Let's hear what Chris Candido has to say.
Now let's go to Bob Cottle standing by with Chris Candido, the Suicide Blonde.
All right, fans, with me right now, here's Chris Candido. Chris, last week, Tim Horner, he brought out a baby bottle full of milk and some Pampers.
Bob Cottle, when you open up this show every week, what do you say? Wrestling the way you like it. Well, I don't like wrestling talking about Pampers or about baby bottles. I'm the world champion. I'm a wrestler. That's what I do. Hey, shut up! I don't talk about bottles or Pampers or nothing like that. But now Smoky Mountain Wrestling thinks it's some kind of real wrestling organization in the WWA. A real wrestling organization based in a real part of the country, New Jersey. You never hear nothing about bottles or Pampers or anything ridiculous like that. So, Tim Horner, I'll take these matches because I know there is no way I'm going to suck on a bottle There's no having to wear a diaper. I'll tell you what, my personal friend, Dennis Carluzzo, the president of the entire World Wrestling Alliance, is going to be calling Smoky Mountain Wrestling. He might even come down here himself and have something to say about this.
All right, fans, he has accepted the challenges of Tim Horner, and those matches we're going to be seeing. All right, we're going to hear from Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel when we come back.
All right, Doc, thoughts on Chris Candido right there?
I thought it was a good promo. I like the fact that he was like, dude, you Southerners are talking about wrestling the way it used to be and the way we like it. Now you're bringing up this diaper and bottle shit. I don't like that. I thought that was a good touch, because it's like, it shows how far we've deviated from the original. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. We've grown. We've progressed to diapers and bottles. But, yeah, I thought that was good. He cut a good promo there.
Yeah, we're 18 months in at this point, just to be – we are actually at a year and a half mark.
Well, pal, this is episode 80. There are 200 episodes. So if you know fractions, that means we're 40% of the way through.
Yeah. All right.
And the next 60% has some wild-ass shit in it.
Wild shit. 95 maybe not, but the rest of 93 and 94 – holy fuck. Wild ass. All right, Harper, your thoughts.
I like how he said that. I don't like the way this shit is. Fuck this. And I think he's starting to get better. I think he's definitely from when we first saw him.
I said that when I was talking to Tommy Noe a few weeks ago about them two. I said, Chris and Tammy, in the short time you see them when they first come in, I full 100% believe that they grow tremendously quickly. Because you think back to the first time you saw Tammy, it was like, she looks like a deer in the headlights.
They're stumbling over their words. They looked like this is the first time they've ever done this before. And they've come a long way in a short time.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly. I agree. I'm right there with you. Okay. Well, here it is. So I thought the promo was good. I can't add anything more to it than what you all said. Candido's definitely grown as a performer. We go now to Down and Dirty with Dutch and Bullet Bob. Now, before they start the interview, we get Bullet Bob, who's out in the jungles of Africa, as Dutch says, with Bullet training the members of his army, who are Gibson, Morton, Scott, and Steve Armstrong. I'm going to play a minute from this, and this is, let me just play the start of it, and then they show him training. I won't play that, and then I'll play the second part where Bullet starts talking again. So here's the first part.
It's finally come, Cornette. No longer will you be the king of cockiness, brother. You will be the queen of caca, because in the rage in the cage 93 at Freedom Hall, your reign will come to an end. I got an army behind me, and we've been through maneuvers. We've sweated blood. We can go in the ditches, in the trenches, any kind of warfare you want. We are ready for it, brother, because we trained hard. I got the Armstrong boys, my blood, and I got some extra reinforcement, the Rock and Roll Express. And this time I won't be by myself. And the good thing, the keeper of the key to the cage, the big boss man, he's big enough, bad enough, got enough of the right stuff to see that nobody gets out of that cage. And when all your criminals get handcuffed, baby, you're going to be looking at the bullet, brother, and I ain't going to be looking too good, because I'm going to be mad. They say, don't get mad, get even. Well, hell, I got mad, and I'm going to get even anyway. So we'll see you at Freedom Hall. All that rabbit blood in you ain't going to do you no good, brother, because where you going to run? Into the big boss man, bounce back to me, and I'll shove your nose through that cage. We ready, boys? Let's get ready. It's wartime. Let's do it. Cornette.
I'm going to stop it there for a second. That's the first part. Just give it to me. What did y'all have from that?
I'm sitting there watching. I said, that's not them. That's gotta be some fucking people, you know. And then I see the mullet. I see that fucking bleach blonde mullet. I said, they got fucking Ricky Morton looking like a fucking cracked out truck driver painting his goddamn face
Camouflage Morton.
Yes, camouflage fucking face. Run around a goddamn woods behind his fucking house. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ. And then I love it when he's like, you might have Ricky Morton. And he like sticks his head out from behind a tree like, then he goes and then he goes back behind the fucking tree.
Dude, my note on that was, Rock and Roll, especially Morton, must have been out there thinking,
what the fuck?
Damn. We used to be the NWA World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. And now we're doing this shit for $300 a week.
Where did we go wrong?
If I was them, that's the moment where I would have said, okay, time out. We need to do an environmental assessment, understand that our gimmick is outdated, and they come back next week as like two Raven-like characters with grunge and like, fuck rock and roll, old-time rock and roll. We're into grunge now. We got to get back to WCW quick.
You're on to something, though, because they never changed their gimmick. They never reinvented themselves.
To this day.
You're right. The music is fucking outdated by at least 10 years.
So my thought was, as soon as I saw this, and Doc texted me after he saw it again.
Here it is. You texted me like something like, you know, you see something on the news or you see something in the sports like completely unrelated. I was like, no, I'm sitting here watching the Armstrongs training. And he's like, Jesus.
It's like a white trash predator, bro. Yeah. It's like, Jesus Christ.
I was like, if this isn't some Southern wrestling fucking hokey horse shit, fucking craziness, and I say that sincerely, Corny, if you're listening.
It is by far the best thing on this show and the worst thing on this show at the same time. Like, here's the thing. If you do this shit right, and I can't explain how it's right, it just is. And you commit to it, and you're not insulting or making fun of it, you can get about as hokey as you want to get in territory wrestling, and I will go with you on the journey. I mean, I don't know. It's just...
I will, too. I mean,
My note was, this was fucking hokey.
Yeah.
That was always my argument when TNA did Final Deletion. I was like... Yeah, I mean, I was like, it's not 1985 NWA Saturday Night, but if you do it right, it's entertaining. It's still entertaining. It can make sense and be so. It can be so. The words I always use is, it can be so absurd that I like it. It can be so fucking stupid that I'll go with it.
Exactly, and so that's what I thought here, Mike. Any chance you know the music that's the background here?
I don't have a clue.
I forgot what it was.
It's the Allman Brothers. The other thing here is, did you notice?
I still got a second part of this to play where Bullet Bob speaks when he's talking to Dutch. But,
Did you notice that? If you go back and look at it, Gibson looked like.
Bro.
Gibson. Jesus. Gibson.
He can't even get it out.
If you go back and look at it real quick, you're gonna agree with me. Gibson looked like Great Muta.
He looked like Great Muta with an ape suit on.
Why is the Great Muta giving me sign language?
Dude, it's so fucking bad. It's so fucking bad.
But here's the thing. And so whether it's Final Deletion or it's this or it's Smothers back on the swing on the back porch, these are memorable moments that stand out. And for whatever reason, I mean, we're laughing, having a good time. We'll remember this part of it. That's memorable shit.
Instead, I mean,
and the point is, today you watch an episode and it's in some generic arena that looks like every other city, and they do 3 hours of boring shit, and when it's over, you watch, it's like eating crap food, and when you're done, you're still hungry. It's like, okay, I still gotta eat after my meal.
When I watch Raw these days, this is like the only thing I remember is what Sasha Banks looked like when she came out, and that's it. What? I'm just being honest.
Well, any of them got fucking Poison Ivy running around at without fucking shirts on?
I would assume Gibson had enough of a fur coat to ward off any sort of toxins from the Poison Oak or Poison
Y'all
Ivy.
Think I'm bullshitting. I'm looking at it right now. Gibson with that fucking paint job, you can barely see his skin because he's got a fucking ape suit on.
Uh-huh. When did he turn into Dutch?
Okay, let's keep going.
So this was awesome and terrible at the same time, and I say that all in the best ways possible.
Right. So what you just heard was actually what they showed them. They showed them training, and then that was the end of the training session where you heard Bullet Bob talking. So now Bullet Bob is now back in the ring with Dutch to close out Down and Dirty this week. Here it is.
Well, you've seen the training film. I am now joined on the Down and Dirty set right here by Bullet Bob Armstrong, the general of Armstrong's Army. And by his own words, he makes General Schwarzkopf look like a wimp. Now, Mr. Armstrong, of course, you know I haven't always agreed with everything you've said, but I'm not going to tell the people the history of what's going on, because if they watch Smoky Mountain Wrestling, they know what's going on. What I want to talk about right now is the K-Town Showdown. You have made an offer, a challenge that to me is unheard of in professional wrestling. To me, it is bizarre. And it says that if you don't put Jim Cornette in the hospital, the same hospital they sent you to, if you don't take him out in the same ambulance that you went out in, you will refund everybody's money that came that night, and you will also retire from professional wrestling. Did I hear you correctly?
You heard me exactly right, and I'm dead serious about it, brother. If I don't beat that sissy britches panty waist sack of Scandinavian snake feces right in the middle of that ring, damn. 1, 2, 3, I'll give every man, woman, and child their money back with pleasure, and I'll never wrestle again. But I owe that man. I've healed up. I feel good. Now, his mama fed him lobster and caviar. Me and my boys grew up on grits and greens, and we didn't do too bad, did we? As a matter of fact, I'd like to take this time right now to tell Mr. Jim Cornette that he can kiss my grits. And furthermore, I think he ought to think long and hard. He better get him a Sears catalog and find him an outhouse where he'll be comfortable with his surroundings and think about what he's fell into. Now, if he'll look back, he's looking back family trees and family history. If he'll look back in the archives, he'll find that Bullet Bob was kicking butts in the Smoky Mountains years ago. I mean, I was kicking butts while he was still sucking his mama's pacifier. I'm still kicking and he still sucks. And I'll tell you this, Dirty Dutch. My word is my bond. Sandy Scott's got a briefcase full of money, and I'll tell you what. K-Town Showdown, get ready. I ain't lying and I ain't flying, and you don't see no feathers on me, and I ain't come to play, brother. I'm gonna put you down. It's a lumberjack match. Ain't no way he can get away. He can run as far as he wants to, but about to the edge of that ring is as far as he gonna get, and somebody's gonna swat him in the head with one of them tennis rackets like he's done everybody else for the past 10 years. He is mine. Jimmy Cornette, you belong to me at the K-Town Showdown, and that's the night at the K-Town Showdown that I will put you down and shut that bugle mouth, fluttering lip of yours now and forever. Now you heard it right here on Down and Dirty with Dutch.
Let me tell you something, man. He got them people in the palm of his hand.
Yep. He definitely knows his audience.
He is a man of the people.
Mm-hmm. And you with know the grits and grains and shit.
Yes.
We need to do a paternity test on this to make sure Smothers is not an Armstrong.
Bro, you know there's some old ladies in that audience that are getting creamy in their pants listening to fucking Bullet Bob right there. Mm-hmm. I'm just
kiss
keeping it real.
Grits.
Yeah. I'm being serious. But that, he was on it there, dude. He and I'm everything he said, they're cheering. He's giving them a chance. Oh, I loved it. That was great. Doc, what did you have from it?
It was awesome, except for the line kissing my grits, which made him sound 110 years old at that point. But whatever.
Shit happens.
Yeah, but I mean, these people don't. They're all in the same time warp with them, so
true. They're all in this kayak.
Yeah, I mean, fucking Alice is fucking primetime TV for these motherfuckers in fucking '93. You know, the rest of the country's watching Friends and you know
The Simpsons.
Right, they're watching fucking Alice, right? Yeah?
Fucking Bugs Bunny.
There's a new girl in town, and I'm feeling great. Whatever the fuck it was.
Jesus. Anytime Harper does karaoke on this show, it's something great. Fuck. Harper, any other thoughts on the promo here?
It's just, he knows exactly who we're standing in front of with the grits and grains. Because you know damn well these people probably eat that shit three times a fucking day.
Grits, greens,
and fucking squirrel and rabbit.
Meth. And meth.
And meth.
And what a balanced dog. What a balanced meal.
So y'all just reminded me of something that I saw last night on Twitter. And again, this isn't going to air for like 3 or 4 weeks.
Is it BTT Doc?
BTT Doc posted, I don't know where he got this from, but he posted the
Smoky
Mountain food table. Or food groups in the Smoky Mountains. He posted like a picture of a pyramid, and like meth was one of the food groups, like midway up the pyramid. I couldn't retweet it because I don't want to piss off the people in the Smoky Mountains. I was like,
fuck 'em.
Damn, dude, that's pretty good that you came up with that one. But yes, BTT Doc did tweet that out. But yeah. All right, so let's keep it. That was a few weeks ago from us recording this. Let's keep going. We got next up, we got Larry Santo and Bobby Blaze versus the Bruise Brothers. Literally, you know, Bobby and Larry, the Bruise Brothers music hits and as they're out there and they come out, but then the Rock and Roll Express hit the ring. So let me fix that. Bobby and Larry are in the ring. They're just chilling. And then the Bruise Brothers come out, but then the Rock and Roll Express hit the ring very quickly. And it's kind of, I kind of wanted to play it, like the audio from it. Were y'all okay with that? That way you can kind of hear what happens and goes down. It's like a minute long.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take that as a yes. Here it is.
All right, wait a minute. Here comes Rock and Roll. What are they doing in there, Dutch?
Well, now, they're not scheduled here, but it looks as though they're trying to tell Larry Santos and Bobby Blaze.
Now, we're going to take a page out of your own book. Now, if your team are the champions, you say they are. Well, we're right here today. These fans are right here, and they want to see a title match. That's what we want.
Hey, Blaze and Santo have left the ring.
Hey, they're leaving. Hey.
Wait a minute.
I don't care what they want to see, and I don't care what you want to see. There ain't going to be no match, and the fans ain't going to be on the line, and there ain't nothing that you can do about it.
Cornette says,
please leave your message for.
Hey, the Bruise Brothers go right after the Rock and Roll anyway. We haven't had a bell. This is not a match. The referee's saying no match. But look at them go at each other.
The Rock and Roll are starting fast and furious here, trying to slow down the onslaught of these Bruise Brothers.
All right, so basically what happens is, and sorry about that, the conference dropped out. This turns into a match some way and somehow. And the Rock and Roll Express, they tell us it's not a match, even though the Rock and Roll Express end up defeating the Bruise Brothers in basically less than a minute. So this is kind of strange. Doc, what did you think about all this?
At first, my first thought was, why are they kind of giving Bobby a semi-push, and now he's out there about to get stomped by the Bruise Brothers? But then obviously that gets itself worked out pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a question here.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or is there something off that I can't put my finger on about this Rock and Roll Bruise Brother feud that's just not doing it for me? It's not terrible. It's just not. It's like it's not hitting it for me.
Harper, I'll let you go first. I agree, Doc. What do you think, Harper?
Yeah, something. it just doesn't. I don't know. Maybe we just seen him work with the fucking Heavenly Bodies so much,
and the Studs,
and now we got two big old guys who can't talk, or and they're just two big old giants. And to be honest with you, it doesn't look believable that they stand a chance against them.
Here's my thing too. I think we're just the rock and roll. You just get tired of them. They got to go away at some point. That's like the staple of territory wrestling, was you never got tired of seeing people. So somebody would come in and they'd have a nice long run, and then they'd leave the territory and go somewhere else, and then maybe they come back.
I'm not tired of Corny. I'm not tired of Dirty White Boy.
I guess you're right on that one. I don't know, bro. It's just, so I guess you're right then. It is the feud. It's not really them. It's just the feud. But it is, it's not doing it for me either. I don't get like fully invested in it like I do other stuff.
Right. I mean,
so it's not terrible. I'm not sitting here going, I wish this was off my screen. I just don't think it's having the impact that it's supposed to have being that high up on the card in Smoky Mountain 93. It's just there's something off about it that I haven't been able to put my finger on. And I just wanted to know if I was the only one.
No. It's not just you. But
I like this because it showed that they're not bulletproof.
Right.
So they can't be beaten. You see, he's not a machine.
Right.
The rush is cut, and it's a bad cut.
There's a chink in the armor.
Here's the other part to that. We've seen them come out and beat people in, like, you know, 5 minutes. I mean, not 5 minutes. Just basically beat the piss out of them for 5 minutes, and, you know, the people do a job for them. So we've seen that, and I like the fact that since we've seen that, now we see the reverse of it where the rock and roll come out, stop Bobby and Larry from getting one of those beat-down ass whippings, and basically beat them in under a minute, which is insane. I mean, I hate to compare them to like the Road Warriors, because you'd never see the Road Warriors lose that quick, or at least I don't think we ever did. But the point being that we've seen them come out and beat these babyface teams up in less than, you know, no time flat, get DQ'd and actually lose. We see the rock and roll come out there and one up them and get on them. So I thought that was good. I thought that was good too. But I'm with you, Doc. I'm not. The feud is just kind of like eh. And they aren't bulletproof, and that's the good part. We got a promo from them coming up next in a second. Before we go to the promo, they do have a Fire on the Mountain plug from 1993. And again,
Would you like to have any guesses on who sings that?
I don't fucking know. Why do you always ask me that?
Don Williams.
I'll back off. I didn't mean to offend you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Offend who?
I'm sorry.
Who was it?
I know. I don't want to offend you.
Oh, okay.
We're friends.
You're a snowflake.
You're the one that says I play heel, but I think the people are starting. The Dogaholics for sure are starting to see you for who you are.
First of all,
you put those patron shows up, and you won't let people just go have them for free. So I think people are finally starting to see that even though I call it straight down the middle and call it tough, I'm the people's champ.
I'm waiting for you to go off on the whole patron show that me and Lance do.
Who's that? Who's Lance? What kind of?
I see he's gonna cut a promo on Lance.
Hey, look! When you're ready to pop the territory, you know who to call. It's Harper and I. We get shit done. We come in and make the memorable moments. You just hit record, and Harper and I do the Armstrong training videos. The shit people remember, pal.
The heavy lifting, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You hit record and get out of the way.
All right. Well, if you want to know how to become a patron, go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. It's a great way to support us. It's a great way to get the extra bonus content, all the world-class shows, all the other Broad Logic shows. Saying we're at about 50 now, so there's a lot back there to go in and listen to if you don't have access to it. So tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. $2 a month. You can do more than that and potentially get you a BTT T-shirt for your pledges that you give monthly, but it starts at 2. You get access to the patron-only shows, and like I said, great way to support the show on an ongoing monthly basis. tinyurl.com/bttpatron. Now, going back to what we were talking about, Fire on the Mountain 1993.
Yeah, again, yeah, try not to get. Hold on, it's Marshall Tucker Band.
Oh, so it was somebody else. I thought it was whoever Harper said.
No, we could have given you 500,000 guesses.
Yeah.
We'd have been dead before I wouldn't even have had a guess. I just would have sat here.
You never
I did the Von Erich thing before I figured out who it was.
The lead singer, Doug Gray, I think his name is. He was personal friends with the Rock and Roll Express.
That's nice.
Yeah, well, I've heard Morton talk about him before because they're buddies.
All right.
Hey, I want to go to that thing and see that band, the Clintons, because they're going to call up the Armstrongs and have an Armstrong musical review. Oh, yeah?
Googled them.
Well, here's the other thing. You have to understand, they're going to write the theme song. That when the theme song changes in 95, they're the authors of this thing.
Oh,
and
really?
Let's just say Mike's not a fan.
You're not a fan either. Wait till you hear that 95 theme song, Hopper.
Oh, God.
Dear God. It's the shits. But anyway. Okay. So let's go. Let's keep going. Fire on the Mountain plug. Don't get confused. Again, Fire on the Mountain is August 14th, a week from today. Of this airing on August 7th of 93, and then K-Town Showdown is almost a week later, August 20th. So let's keep going. After the Bruise Brothers quote-unquote lose, they cut a promo, and they're hot. Here it is.
Let's see now if we can get Jim Cornette and the Bruise Brothers. One thing about it, the Rock and Roll proved that it can be done.
There was they can no be match. Beat. There was no match. The bell never rang. I didn't accept the challenge. It wasn't a legal match. Both of them pinned the guy. It wasn't a match.
It wasn't a match.
Let me clarify something. Rock and Roll, you surprised us, and you surprised a lot of people. But we're still a champ. And the only thing you accomplished in that ring today was to f***ed us all. And by God, you better go home and get some better. Get all these fans behind you. Because now it's time to get busy. And nobody, I mean nobody, does this to us. When I get my hands on you, I'm going to tear you apart. I'm going to throw chunks of you to these stinking people. Because nobody, and I mean nobody, does that to me and my brother.
Smoky Mountain.
Well, they're pissed and they're hot. Harper, thoughts?
He probably scared the shit out of these people.
I think so. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, this is one of the very few times that we heard their fucking voice, huh?
Yeah, they don't talk much.
Yeah.
I see why.
That's nice.
I don't think they were bad there. I mean, it was short and to the point.
They got the point across.
Did you see that one Harris brother push Caudle out of the way?
Yeah, poor Bob. I was like, oh, fuck. Did he break a hip when he went flying backwards? I was glad when we came back from commercial that he was standing there with Tracy Smothers.
I wonder if somebody said something to him like, hey, keep your hands off Bob. We're lucky to have him.
Right. Right.
Yeah, for real, huh?
Yeah. Any other thoughts on the promo, either of you?
They're hot. They got exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
They're fucking pissed. They showed that they can bleed. So fuck you. They're out for blood.
So, yeah, pretty much. I mean, they made their point. They're mad now. Well, after that, we're going to hear from Tracy Smothers. Let's hear from Tracy and see what he's got to say. Now, remember, let me just play it. Here it is.
All right, fans, with us right now, here's the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers. Tracy, I got to ask you about Tammy Fitch and the big primetime Brian Lee. He says he's so tall in a coal miner's glove match, all he's got to do is reach up and grab it off of that pole.
Well, you know something, Bob? I know for a fact that in just a few minutes, old prima donna Brian Lee has got a title match with White Lightning Tim Horner, so he may not be the champion before this day is over. But champion or not, Brian Lee, your butt belongs to me, boy. You know, it's a darn shame to see somebody that you helped get started in this great sport of ours turn into the no-good-nothing-happening sleazeball, bleach-blonde prima donna that you turned out to be, Brian Lee. Tammy Fitch with a capital B. I'm coming after you too. If I get my hands on you, I'm gonna put you over my knee and whoop your butt like your mama should have done a long time ago, lady. Coal miner's glove, man. I'm gonna scale that thing like Tarzan, and I'm gonna get that coal miner's glove, and I'm gonna do my dead level best to knock you into the next area code into the middle of next week, Brian Lee, and get back the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion, the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight title that I rightly deserve. You're right, I'm mad, and I'm stirred a little bit, because by the good grace of God and the support of the fans and just a little bit of lady luck, I'm going to get my title back, and the South will rise again.
All right, Tracy Smothers, and he is ready.
Well, he's kind of fired up, wouldn't you say, Doc?
Tell me that's not Bob Armstrong's son.
Yeah, I guess you might have a point there.
We need some testing. Get Maury Povich down there.
Is he the only one that would do that shit back in the day? Wasn't there another one that would
Jenny Jones, pal.
No,
yeah, they all
no.
used to do that.
Yeah, remember? What was the black guy?
The black guy.
Yeah, Montel Williams. Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want me to say, Doc? Jesus Christ.
The African-American, sir.
Fuck you, asshole.
First you were on wetbacks, now you're on black guys.
Okay. He used to do it, too. I remember one time they tested, like, six fucking dudes on one of those shows, and it was none of them. And the fucking broad was like, telling her mama, I don't know which one it is. I don't know. It was one of those. And I mean, I'm just like, she's like, I didn't sleep with nobody else. You just had seven motherfuckers take a test. I mean, if you got to seven, I don't doubt that you got to 8, 9, or 10. So whose fucking baby is this here? That shit, bruh. Fucking craziness.
What? You were probably out trying to bang her at the damn
That's the worst
bar.
Part. This bar is like a fucking train wreck.
After your matches with Chris Adams, you were out trying to pick up some skeevy twat.
Okay. Any other thoughts on Tracy Smothers' promo from either of you? No. Keep going. Tim Horner versus Primetime Brian Lee with Tammy Fitch is up next. Long story short on this one. Horner is giving Primetime Brian Lee all he can handle. The referee gets bumped just before Horner gets Primetime Brian Lee in the natural bridge. While Primetime Brian Lee is out for more than three in the natural bridge, Candido interrupts and breaks the count while the ref isn't looking. Then Primetime Brian Lee puts his black glove on and hits Horner with it. Smothers hits the ring to attack Primetime Brian Lee, but Smothers is sprayed with Tammy's spray bottle. Horner then helps save Tracy from further attack as we go to commercial. Did that summarize it well, Harper?
Harper's not on, dude.
Did he drop?
I'm back.
Yay!
There he is. Doc, did I summarize that match well?
Yeah, I thought Horner was pretty frisky at the beginning. He was fired up and doing some work.
Jib-jiving and socializing, bro. He was on it.
What is this word I wrote down?
It's nice.
Doc. Hold on. What does that say?
Can't even read his fucking writing.
Sound it out.
Me and my
That's not the problem.
Sound it out.
That's not the problem. I garbled it all up on top of each other. I'm a doctor. You ever seen doctor's handwriting before? I don't know. The glove. That's what it is. The glove always works. Great angle. I love it because you could load it in there. What's he got in that glove to make it so hard? You know, that's good stuff. Mace. Everybody, again, lots of moving parts. A couple of people that are relatively new to the business in green. Everybody was in the right place, doing the right things, putting that all together. I found this segment to be entertaining and enjoyable. And, that was a pretty good match between Horner and Primetime. So, all things considered, thumbs up on that.
I like that the ref spot was nice.
This shit was good, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everything they did here, man. They did it right to where the heel was defeated. It made Horner look good because he's got the champion pinned. Yeah. So you're not burying him in any way, and this, because remember he's in a big feud with Candido. Horner ends up losing, but he's fucked in it. I don't know if you could. I mean, it was done perfect. That was really well done.
But you know what everybody's going to start saying now, right?
What's that?
Everybody's going to start saying that we're pandering to Tim Horner so he'll come on our show.
Well, that's what we're doing, right?
That's not what we're doing. Nobody needs a pandering.
People think that we put a lot more forethought into this than actually we spend.
That's what you told us to do before we fucking went on. You said stop burying him. I'm trying to get this shithead on the show.
Well, that never was said, but there's people out there that will believe that was said.
So, right, because people think we have this elaborate plan when really our pre-show consists of everybody getting actually on the Skype successfully.
That's the pre-show.
That's the pre-show. Here's how the show works. I'm on 5 minutes early. Mike calls right on time. Harper's at least 5 minutes late, and then we've got to all work through our connection issues. That's the show. I pulled back the curtain. There it is. Literally, every time
we started 25 minutes late today because Harper couldn't get on Skype.
Fucking shit.
That was the pre-show. As soon as he finally got on Skype, I was like, all right, let's get rolling. No pre-show. Here we go. Yep. That was it.
Think how good we would be if we like prepared more.
We prepare. The technology is what gets in the way.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. There's a difference. Oh. Okay. So let's keep going. We had Primetime Brian Lee right there retain his Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title with the help of Tammy Fitch. And so here it is. There's a promo. Now, I'm going to skip the local promo, y'all. I don't have anything on that. We got Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy.
Well, all I said here was Tammy is talking about not wanting to go to Hazard, Kentucky. Can you believe what's going to happen to her in Hazard, Kentucky? They're going to look at her like she's a piece of fried chicken, dude. She better stay out of there.
I might come back to it after I play this. Let me play this one because I forgot about that. I'll at least play Tammy's part. Here's the actual promo that is going along with the storyline and not the local promo. Here's Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy.
With us right now, ringside, Tammy Fitch, Primetime Brian Lee. And again, we saw Brian Lee with that black glove, the glove that he has used in so many of the matches against Tracy Smothers. And again, Tammy Fitch, you came in with, you sprayed something, mace or something, right into the eye.
What do you expect me to do when Tracy Smothers turned around? He's a woman beater. He tried to beat me. Ryan was right. He's a woman beater. He turned around. He tried to hit me. What am I supposed to do? I have to carry protection. I mean, I can't help it if every man in the world wants me. And everyone, they can't resist me. I have to protect myself. And he came after me, tried to hit me. And what am I supposed to do? I have to protect myself.
Bob, Tracy Smothers a woman beater. You seen him grab her? You seen him grab Tammy Fitch?
They just like to wrestle all these cold men and bumpers up in the hills.
When they see a real woman, they're just like cavemen. They grab them by the hair. They try to drag them around. They don't know anything about a date. They don't know anything about taking them out to a movie. All they know about is take out dinner. They go to McDonald's and drag them to it. He's a pervert. Look at him. He's a pervert.
Hey, you prima
Smothers
donna.
Now. Wait a minute.
Hey, you prima donna. We ain't got to wait. Give me a title.
And they go off air just like that, which is how you do it. Make them come back next week, in my opinion.
How do you keep an idiot in suspense?
Harper, go ahead. What'd you have from that?
You know, these people try to live by that whole the Southern gentleman shit. But well, they do attempt to, if it's even a real thing, if it ever was a real thing. And so one of the worst things you could call someone like that is a fucking woman beater. So that's got to kind of stick to these people to kind of get them extra pissed off because they know that it's not true.
Yeah. Sticks in their craw.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, what'd you have?
I thought it was genius because they were walking up to the set getting blamed for hitting with the glove and they pivoted it. It said, no, he, you're a woman beater, dude. So it was a good pivot to get the heat off of them, away from them and onto the real criminal here, which is Tracy. So I thought that was done really, really well. I just don't understand why being a prima donna is such a bad thing, dude.
Yeah, God, he's got to move on from that shit.
I think it's the area. I mean, you know, these are
hillbillies. These
are, yeah, so a prima donna is like a super duper heel to these people. That's you do that and you think you're better than others and all that good shit. And we're hard working folks, you know?
Right.
That's where that comes in. It is what it is, you know.
Don't cut our welfare. Cut those other people's welfare. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Asshole. Hey, let's listen to what Tammy said. You were talking about the local promo. So this is the local promo from Tammy and Primetime Brian Lee. Here it is.
Champion takes on the Mongolian Stomper.
You know, I'm a little bit upset. No, I'm not upset. I'm disgusted. We have to go to Hazard, Kentucky with all these fat, ugly, out-of-shape women, and that's not saying anything for the men. They have no teeth. We have to go up to Hazard, Kentucky and wrestle the Mongolian Stomper. And bald head, he's fat. That's disgusting. I don't even want to go.
I don't either, Tammy, but you know, Mongolian Stomper, you've been my partner. I know what you can, but I also know what you can't do. You know, you have about 3 or 4 brain cells left, and when you step into a prime time, I'm going to knock everyone out of that bald head. Smokey.
All right. So, Doc, you spoke towards it. Did you have anything else to say about Tammy and what she was saying towards Hazard? And
can you imagine, you know, she's Bigfoot in the South or in the Smoky Mountains. In Hazard or Harlan, Kentucky, get that. Seriously. I mean, there were places. I mean, you've heard Corny talk about on his show. There were places where Garvin would tell Precious, "You're staying in the back tonight."
That's incredible when you think about that. Repeat that again, so it sinks into people.
There were places. Corny has talked about this in the last few months on his show that there were places, like in Louisiana, where it was. Jimmy Garvin surveyed the scene and was like, "Nah, you're going to the back."
That's so awesome when you think about it.
Fucking these fucking hillbillies looking at some blonde chick like she's a fucking pork chop, dude. Look out.
I ain't gonna lie. I've seen some places in southern Alabama and parts of Mississippi that I might not drag my worst enemy through, man. Woof.
Are we great again yet?
What? All right. Disability check time. Doc, you going first.
Is Harper on the line still? He sounds quiet over there.
I'm here.
Perfect. Okay. So I thought this was a really solid show from top to bottom, marked with a memorable vignette. So, you know, everybody did good today. And so while nothing was Starrcade 85 level or 86 level, it was an enjoyable 50 minutes of wrestling. And for that, I'm going to give it a 7.7.
Wow, I thought for sure you'd do 7.5, which made me go 7.6 because I was like, he's going to give this a 7.5. I'm going 7.6. Harper, what are you giving it?
I'll give it a solid 8 just because of that. The Armstrongs in the fucking woods.
Jesus Christ.
With the dog barking in the background.
Yeah, that's true. God, holy shit. So government cheese, I don't know how you don't give it to the training session in the woods.
Yes.
The only argument I think somebody could make is that you had Cornette cut that 4-minute promo at the beginning that was really, really good. But I would have to go with the training session. Doc, what would you have to go with? Well, Harper, you said the training session too?
Well, we've seen Cornette do that before. He's a pro. But we never seen this fucking shit before. So
and never will again.
No.
Bro, do you realize we're giving Doc, let me assume, are you going to give that to government cheese too?
No.
No, you're not. Okay, what are you giving to government cheese?
My government cheese actually goes to Bob Armstrong for going above and beyond because he cut a hell of a promo after that, too, in the ring.
Yeah, on Down and Dirty after the training session. That's true.
Right. I think he gets special singled out mentions for all of it, dude. He was out there commanding his troops and cutting promos. So I'm going to give it to Bob singularly.
Yeah, Bob cut a hell of a one. I do have to admit that was pretty good. Here's the thing: if you're, God, I can't wait till after this match where Cornette has the match with the tennis rackets. The Lumberjacks have the tennis rackets. I cannot wait until we do the show after that because it is so great. We're starting to. Let me say this: I said we were kind of in a lull before we got here. We were. It's starting to pick back up. Would you agree, Doc? We're starting to upswing again?
Maybe.
I think so.
I would say so. You get the big boss man's going to make an appearance.
There's some other big names, too, that right. are some real big names in wrestling that are on the horizon. Real big names. I can't remember if they air it, but I know they announce it. They announce some big names as far as Smoky Mountain Wrestling goes in the WWF. So, okay, Doc gave his 7.7. Harper did 8.0. I did 7.6 in the training session. And Bob Armstrong, after the training session, went to the government cheese, distributed it that way. I want to thank the patrons again, but I also want to remind everyone, please use the Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It's a great way to support the show as well without spending anything extra. If you're already purchasing things on Amazon, if you use that link, the show gets a small amount in return kickback to us. Again, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Bookmark it. Give it to your wives, girlfriends, anyone else in your family who does any type of shopping, and please use it. And then I want to thank the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett, for everything they do. They support the show, so you should support them. They do their shows on Mondays. Just search the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, and you can get to their show. They do a slightly northern sports entertainment take on things, although they are starting to appreciate the southern stuff as well, and they're doing a lot more classic stuff these days. Malonis is currently competing in Ring of Honor Wrestling, so there you have it. And then lastly, before we get out of here, I need to thank the patrons, the Hall of Fame patrons, that is, at MPRU83, at DNNIEW, LS, RE Miller 39, at Justin _ Andretti, at JShiny21, at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider91US, at ShepDaddy32, USC 49er Dodger, at Gerald Green III, at T-Hog94, at SV Padgham, at Martin Howell 71, at Tim O'Reggie, Coldman822, Gobble Unreal, and at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. Again, if you're not a patron, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Check the links in the show notes. Doc, you got something to say about your t-shirts? You wanna mention something, or where are we at with that right now?
No, I don't give a shit.
Okay. as he complains about not getting paid enough to do the show. But there are Docaholic t-shirts. As of the date, we're still waiting on the Hard Body Harper t-shirts. We've sold a couple of Docaholic t-shirts as of late. So check out the links in the show description. The TeePublic store is there, which has a lot of shirts, and then the Pro Wrestling Tee store is there as well. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. And other than that, we're about to get out of here because we got to go do episode 81 now. We're already tuckered out. So, Doc, anything else?
No.
Harper, you.
No. Book it, bitch. Fuck. Let's go.
See y'all later.
Fuck. Goddamn.